Praise the Lord. You know, it's been, let's see, we've been pastoring 16 years, and it's the first time I think we ever canceled a watch night service. But I believe Brother Hurst, we're right in the center of the Lord's will being here tonight. Amen. I feel the Spirit of the Lord here tonight, church. You want to have church? Amen. Just get in and worship Him. Amen. I was over talking to one of the brothers at our church the other day, and there's a neighbor that lives next door to the church. She had a heart attack, and they rushed her to the hospital, pronounced her dead, and the daughter went over there and said, the doctor said, there's nothing else we can do. She looked around the corner. The mom was just sitting there raising her hand, and her eyes was open. Wait a minute, Doc. I thought you said, wait a minute. We worked on her, you know. They brought her back to life, but I said this. Last week was Jesus' birthday. Without birth, no death. Without no death, no resurrection. Without no resurrection, no life. Aren't you glad for life tonight? We ought to be excited about our salvation, amen. We ought to be excited about being in the house of God tonight, amen. You know what? I was listening to what Brother Hurst said. It said, you know, it is expedient for him to go away, for if he don't go away, he can't come back, right? Watch night. I'm watching for him. Hello? I'm watching for Jesus Christ to come back. Man, you all ain't loosened up any. We need to get loosened up. Hello? We're in church. An old year about to be passed away, a new year about to come in. Hello, we've been blessed this year. Amen. We had our kids come back home to Ohio. Man, we're excited, but we're more excited about what Jesus can do if we just allow Him to do it. Amen. Everybody stand. Come on, stand up. I mean, we're going to have church tonight. Amen. I guess Brother Hurst is going to preach after a while. But wouldn't you like to have the Holy Ghost preach? Amen. Wouldn't you like to see the Holy Ghost get a hold of somebody and shake them, amen, till their teeth rattles? I'm telling you tonight, church, we can get in and have church, amen. I'm watching for Him. I'm looking for Him to come back, amen. Who's He coming back for? He's coming back for those that are saved, washed in His blood, amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you. Someday, she's going to sing someday. 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 Just think about it. Someday. Hey, we're going to leave here. Someday, we're going to walk on streets of gold. Someday, my trials will cease. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What page, babe?
203.
Grab a songbook. Grab a songbook. If you ain't got one, somebody give your neighbors one. Come on. Come on. Let's worship Him tonight. Let's praise Him. Let's glorify Him. Someday, Brother Hurst, we're going to be out of here, brother. Good to be with you tonight. Pray for us.
My trials here on earth will cease someday, someday, and I will have unending peace someday, some happy day from sin set free. Someday, oh someday, some happy day.
Sister Cruz, the Christian ought to live with the attitude, perhaps today will be the someday. Hallelujah. If you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, Andrew asked me today, he said, Dad, are we going to have preaching tonight? And I said, yes. He said, on Sunday morning, you already preached about the new thing. He said, we don't even need to have preached tonight. You've already done it. I said, well, we really do need to have preaching. He said, well, you should have saved it for tonight. So. Amen. I trust you got a good nap in today. Maybe if you're sitting thinking, how's this going to work, listen to preaching at almost 10 o'clock at night, you might consider what it would be like to be doing the preaching at almost 10 o'clock at night and 51 years of age. I have experienced that. Fly from here in a late afternoon to California, 3 hours difference, and they're just wound up getting ready to have church, and my body's still on this time, so it's kind of like that. But I believe the Lord wants to speak to us tonight. What I want to attempt to do in this message is to share what I believe should be the theme for our church in 2013. I know you just got seated, but there's some marked distinctives of a Pentecostal. One is it's up and down in the church, and then it's we go eat. So as Pentecostals, if you'd stand for the reading of God's word. Now I'm not praying over the food, I'm reading the text here, so it'll be a few minutes before we get there. This is what Jesus said in answer to his disciples' question, when shall the end come? And amongst other things he said, Jesus said, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. If we could go back to verse 42, the first word of that verse is the title tonight. It's the theme. It's the message. It's the instruction from Christ. Watch. Watch. I believe that ought to be the theme for our living in this 2013. Watch. Why? Because the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. Hallelujah. I don't want to be one of those that would have watched. I want to be one of those that did watch. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Recently I finished a quite an extensive book about Niagara Falls. In the year 1848, in March of that year, about the 29th day, the villages around the falls were suddenly astounded. It started with a farmer, I don't know why, but he decided to go take a walk right after midnight. And he walked out and began to walk through the countryside, and something struck him. He couldn't hear Niagara Falls. That thundering, rolling sound of that waterfall was missing. And so he ran to the banks there, and he looked down and looked around, and Niagara Falls had quit running. And where it had hit in the basin below, it was empty. There was no water there. He began to wake folks up. Other folks began to wake up. They were astounded. Now, we may think this is foolish in our day and time, but they immediately assumed that the end of the world had come. Niagara Falls had quit running. Morning light came and the churches filled up. Literally thousands of people went to church. They wanted to hear something from the preacher. They were convinced that the end of the world had come. One of their theories was that at this time, the United States had fabricated a war with Mexico to grab some land it wanted. We don't like to hear that, but that's what happened in history. And many of them said, God is judging America for being aggressive. Others said, well, it's because New York has had move of God after move of God, and she's went back to her evil and wicked ways. That's God is coming with judgment. Now, let me tell you, before we draw a conclusion here, what had happened. They found out when the news finally got to them that back at Buffalo, you know, up here, Buffalo, New York, that ice floes had been driven by the wind to close the passage of water that feeds Niagara Falls. But for almost 40 hours or 30 hours, no water ran until the ice broke up. Now you can say, well, that's foolish for those folks to begin to think that that was the end of the world that had come. But the point I want to make is when something catastrophic happened, look where their minds went. They immediately begin to think in terms of the end, of the judgment. In other words, they believed in a coming day of judgment. They believed in the coming of the Lord to the point that when something like this happened, the only explanation they could think of is it's happening. The end of the world is coming. Perhaps the Lord is coming. You see, people used to see things that were transpiring in their world as an indication that the coming of judgment was upon them. But what alarms me is we're living in a time when we could look out and see the events of the world are mirroring what we read in this book. How many knows we can do that? You can listen to the news, you can look out and see what's happening in our world, and you can be convinced that they mirror what the prophecies of the end has spoken in this book. And yet even church people don't look out and see what's happening and respond and say, Jesus is coming. They don't even think along those lines anymore. But I think that if we get to this place of watching, we will look out and see what's transpiring. And the first place our thoughts and heart is going to go is Jesus is coming. Can you say amen? I'm talking about watching tonight. Brother Tim, we have horrible, horrible sound up here. I don't know if you can help me. It's like there's a tin can somewhere in the distance, and I'm talking through. You know how I used to get a string and tin can to tin can? If you could help me here, barely hear myself here. So I appreciate it. In other words, people today simply aren't watching. But I want you to know, I believe 2013 ought to be a year where we're watching. You know the thing that's so alarming? Get this. If you don't get anything else tonight, get this. The thing that is so alarming. Well, first of all, let me ask you a question. How many believes we are closer to the coming of Jesus Christ than we have ever been? How many believes we are closer to the judgment than we have ever been? You know what's alarming? We're closer to the coming of Jesus than we have ever been, and yet the church is looking for his coming less than it ever has. And we would say it's a true statement. I think we need a revival like we used to sing. Come, O Holy Spirit, all our hopes renew. Watch. Watch. Amen. I don't know if I gave that to you, Brother Mike, but the word watch literally means be alert. Be awake. Be vigilant. And the question tonight is, are we awake to what's happening in our world? And is what happening in our world saying to us, Jesus is coming? What does it mean to watch? Does it mean you just, every time you can, you find a window that faces east and you go and look out the window and say, oh, is he coming yet? Now, I remember times in my experience that I so expected the Lord to come that I actually did that. During the day, I would go to a window that faced east and I would look out to see if he was coming yet. Is that what it means to watch? Perhaps so, but I think to watch means more that you are careful, you are alert, you are vigilant to make sure that everything is prepared and ready should he come today. That's watching. What is watching? It's a diligent awareness that when you see things happening in the world, they immediately cause you to say, perhaps this is what is going to be the thing that ushers in Jesus Christ when he comes again. It's that awareness of what's happening. Amen. Watch. Another thing Jesus said here, he gives the picture of a thief. He said, if the goodman of the house had have known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. You know, I know sometimes there's exceptions to the rule, but thieves normally don't break in your house at noon when you're active going about the activities of your house. That's not when the thief usually comes. The thief usually comes when night comes and it gets darker. And what Jesus is saying here is a person ought to be able to see that it's getting darker and know as it's getting darker, the likelihood of the thief coming is greater. You know, we ought to be able, as believers, knowing truth, we ought to be able to look and see that it's growing darker. And know as it's growing darker, that's not a time to become discouraged and depressed and disillusioned, but to know that it's growing darker ought to say to our hearts, we're that much closer to the eternal day when Jesus comes again. Watch. Watch. I think a great example is a weather warning with the word in it. Tornado watch. You know, you say, well, you know, people's got worked up about the coming of Jesus before. My grandparents used to get worked up about Jesus coming. Now they're in the graves. They were wrong. No, I beg to differ with you. They were not wrong. You say, well, I've read books like back in the 40s and even before that, the early 1900s, people looked at the events of the world and said, Jesus coming, get ready. And they preached the message, you've got to be ready. Jesus, they were wrong. I beg to differ with you. They weren't wrong. You see, it's like a tornado watch. You know why they issue a tornado watch? Because the conditions have developed that is conducive for a tornado to happen. How many knows, thankfully, though, that most of the time the conditions are there for a tornado? The tornado watch warning is given, but most of the time there isn't a tornado. Were they wrong to give the tornado watch warning? Just because it ended up and it resulted in no tornado. Were they wrong to give that? No, they were perfectly right because the conditions were there. There could have been a tornado. And you know, here's the point. When there is a tornado, the conditions that preceded it are no different than the times when you had the same conditions and there were no tornadoes. And I want you to know it's that way with the coming of the Lord. Even the apostle John said, it's the last hour. They weren't wrong. They looked at the world and the events of the world had increased. And there was world governments and there was persecution. And everything was coming together for Jesus to come. But he didn't come. Instead, there was revival. Instead, people got saved. Instead, the world was had its darkness pushed back by the light of the gospel. Amen. And so there has been those times in history when we've been that close to the coming of the Lord. Lord. Amen. However that may be, one thing we must conclude, here we are again at this point in time. Once again, look out at the events of the world, and everything is lined up for the coming of Jesus Christ. And so instead of being on a tornado watch, we need to be on a coming watch, looking for His coming. You may be asking, what are you talking about, Pastor? We're living in a time when there has hardly ever been as much tension in the Middle East. There's been precursors. There's been other instances. But once again, it looks like there's going to be a confederacy of Islamic nations backed by, supported by Russia. You say, what's alarming about that? Because the prophets of old told us of just such a confederacy backed by the kingdom of the north that is going to gather their armies and march from the north upon Israel. And then it's going to come the end with that tremendous, all-time, one-of-a-kind battle of Armageddon. We ought to be able to look at that and say, I need to watch. It has happened before, this very situation. The tension has built before. I was telling someone last night, 1967. How many knows what that was? How many was alive in 1967? That was the Six-Day War in Israel. I wasn't quite six, but I remember two things about it. One, my dad worked at the repair base. They didn't let him come home that night. He had to stay there in readiness. Number two, we were close enough, 35 miles away, to hear those airplanes all night flying. Why such activity? Just because Israel's in a fight with those little nations around her? No, not just that. But because the world didn't know, they were fearful of, there were signs of, there were even memos and correspondence that Russia might be getting involved and backing that onslaught against Israel. And the world was fearful that we were up on the brink of nuclear war. 1967. There were other instances in there where the tension built. But what I'm trying to say is we are there right now, tonight, as I'm preaching. The media may be slanted to the point they're not making us aware of it or not, but we have nations lining up against Israel again, and who's doing the saber rattling? It's Russia. Supporting the enemies of Israel. We're there again. And again, why? What's so important about that? Because one day it's going to happen. One day that confederacy of armies are going to join together, and backed by that superpower of the north, they're going to march upon Israel, and the end is going to come. And before I get any more into this, I want to talk about something, a mistake folks make that really causes problems in them, their understanding of the end time, the coming of Christ, and what's going to happen. And it's simply this. Many times folks fail to remember that the coming of Jesus, the second coming, is actually two parts, two acts, two phases. When we talk about the second coming of Christ, there are two acts to that. How many knows what the first act or the first part is? It's called rapture. The trumpet is going to sound. And those that are blood washed and prepared and ready and watching, they're going to depart. Now you see, in the rapture, Jesus doesn't come all the way to earth. We meet Him in the air. Hallelujah. But that's just the first act of the second coming. The second act of the second coming is the return. We have met Him, and now He does come to earth with all His saints, with all the hosts and armies of heaven, and He comes to do battle against those that would come against His people, and He wins that battle, hallelujah, as if that would be a surprise. And He comes to the Mount of Olives, and He comes to bring the kingdom of God on earth to rule and reign in holiness and righteousness. I took the time to cover that because in Scripture, the rapture needs no signs. You don't have to wait on another sign for the rapture to take place, because the rapture is always imminent. That means it is pending and could happen at any moment. You don't need to have any sign for it to happen. But the return of Christ does have signs. The point's kind of moot, though, because if the signs are telling us that Jesus' return is near, we know the rapture's got to happen before the return. See, I'm talking about how much closer it is than we know. You see what I'm saying? If the signs are saying the return is near, how much closer are we to the rapture of the church? Watch. Watch. Be prepared. Be ready. Hey, man, look at the events of our world. What should we watch for? Oh, there's so many things, and I'm not going to get into the details tonight. I just want to give you a couple of things tonight, a couple of three or four things tonight. And I've just had them all start with an I, just so we can remember them. I think we need to watch Israel. Amen. Watch Israel. In verse 32 of chapter 24, Jesus said, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that the summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." Most Bible scholars that believe in literal interpretation believe when Jesus was talking about that fig tree, he was talking about Israel. And when Israel once again would flourish, keep your eye on the fig tree. Keep your eye on Israel. You know, when you look at the many nations of the earth and how powerful so many nations are, you know, we think United States and Russia. I mean, we're living in a time when there's a huge nation rising in power, Brazil. I mean, there's all these powerful, large even geographical nations. But guess who we're talking about all the time? Israel. Tiny. Did you know Israel? That's because it's got a little, it's got a long angle to it at the bottom. Did you know Israel, if you follow even that long angle, it's only 223 miles north to south? And its width varies from 9 miles to 71 miles. That's a tiny nation. Did you know you could fit 8 Israels into the state of Florida? One state. 8 Israels. And yet, where is the attention of the world? You could say it's just by accident that it's that way. No, it's that way because God planned it that way. He arranged it that way. I know we could come up with reasons. If I had a globe tonight, I didn't have to take the time to get this up here. But that little strip of land, Israel, connects 3 continents. It's a land bridge between Europe and Asia and Europe and Asia and Africa. That's why God's people had to put up with so many wars, because there was only one caravan route between those three, or amongst those three continents. It went right through Israel. God planned that too. Because if you got enemies marching to, here's armies, they're marching from one continent to the other, and on the way they got to go through Israel. So who do they beat up on? They beat up on the little guy, Israel. But God knew what he was doing there. That kept Israel trusting God, believing God, looking to God. And so just that little piece of land connects 3 continents. Not only does it connect 3 continents, that little piece of land is home to 3 major world religions: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Just that little piece of land has those 3 major religions. I know Islam developed further out in Saudi Arabia, but they have their holy spot, their most holy Dome of the Rock mosque there in Israel, that little strip of land. And so what do we watch? You know, if there's an earthquake, the first thing they want to determine is the epicenter. But do we realize that even geographically, the epicenter of planet Earth is Israel? Right? And the epicenter of Israel is Jerusalem, the holy city. How many knows that always comes up in negotiations of peace? Jerusalem. The epicenter of the earth is Israel. The epicenter of Israel is Jerusalem. And the epicenter of Jerusalem is the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount, because the temple used to be there. But now the Islamic Dome of the Rock Mosque is there. That causes some problems we need to watch for. Why? Because God said his people are going to build a temple there. And there are millions of Muslims says, no way. Our holy place is there. You're not going to put yours there. The attention of the world upon that little spot of land. Look what God has done. Amen. Supernaturally, Israel became a nation again in 1948. May of 1948. You say supernaturally. Why? You know, there has never, ever in the history of the world been a people who lost their nation status, who became not a nation, who lost their land and their government. There's never been a people that have went without their nation for so many centuries to become a nation again other than Israel. It's never happened. You see, in 70 AD, the Romans, who had already conquered Israel, came in and destroyed the temple. But in 135 AD, in another uprising and rebellion, the Romans came in, slaughtered the Jews, but then they made a law that no Jew was allowed into Israel, the land of Israel, Palestine. They barred Jews from going into the land in 135 AD. And yet 1948, 1800 years later, a people that had been scattered across the globe, God, as he had said he would do. In fact, it was in the message on Sunday morning. He said, I'll bring those that have been scattered. I'll bring them from the north and the south and the east and the west, and I'll bring them back to the 1800 years later. A people that have been scattered came back to their homeland. How did that happen? It was supernatural. They may not even agree with that tonight, but if you really look at the facts, it was supernatural. And God knew what he's doing. He had already done that once before. I mean, Israel had been scattered in our Bible, in the exile, but God brought them back then as he said he would, and he brings them back again. In May of 1948, Israel declared statehood, and immediately they were ready. Other nations had equipped them. Nations on every side of Israel came barreling in to destroy the Jews and push them into the sea. These are nations that have been given tanks. They have been trained by the best armies of the world. They have the best weaponry. They have all of that. Israel has nothing, no tanks. The only air force it had one airplane, and they put bottles with fuel in them and drop them as bombs. That's all Israel had. And how did that one nation surrounded by these seven or eight other nations coming against, how did it survive when they had all the weaponry, all the manpower? Because God had plans for Israel. Supernaturally. We could talk about the other wars and how God supernaturally intervened. Millions of Muslims, a multitude of nations, have had and do today have as a goal to destroy Israel. So why do we need to watch Israel? Because it will be there in Israel that the end time war of wars is going to take place, Armageddon. The armies of the world will be going there. Why do we need to watch Israel? Because not only is it the land of Armageddon, but it is the land of the return of Jesus Christ. How many knows his feet are going to come down on the Mount of Olives? Hallelujah. Comes the second time. Came the first time to deal with sin and to salvation. But he's coming the second time as the mighty King and sovereign and ruler of righteousness. We're living in a time the animosities of the world are turning even greater against Israel. How many knows it seems like even Israel's closest friend, the United States, has become tentative and is urging Israel to restrain herself, even as she's being threatened with annihilation. What recourse does Israel have but to use everything in her arsenal, even the nuclear weapons, to protect and preserve herself? And you say, why watch Israel? Because Israel is not going to just lie around and let herself be annihilated. She is going to fight with or without the United States. I can't tell you just the amount of years, and I've shared this at other places, but you guys will know Brother Wyatt. But 15 plus years ago, I had just met Brother Wyatt a year or so before, or several years before, just briefly encountered him. But I was preaching a graduation banquet in Indiana, and I was sitting up there close to him, and he got to talking. He said, "I want to tell you something. You know, if you know Brother Wyatt, he is a voracious studier and reader about Israel." And he told me then, all those years ago, he said, "The man to keep your eye on in Israel is a man called Benjamin Netanyahu." He said, "Keep your eyes on him." He said, "I believe it's all going to start happening with that man." Well, he was briefly prime minister back in the 90s. But guess who is the leader in Israel right now? Benjamin Netanyahu, the man Brother Wyatt said, "Keep your eye on." And what's so important about that? Well, some of the close friends of Netanyahu have said that Netanyahu believes he has been born for this moment to help lead in the preservation of Israel against her enemies. He has a sense. He has a sense of destiny. I don't know how that's all going to work out. I just know we need to keep our eyes on Israel and not be worn out by the familiarity of it being in the news all the time to the point we don't think about it. We ought to look and know that one day this word about Israel is going to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. How many wants to come back with Jesus when he returns to rule in that kingdom? Secondly, I think we need to keep our eyes. We need to watch Iran. Ahmadinejad, the leader of Iran, has said, and he has made so very clear, that he believes that Israel must be eliminated from the earth. Netanyahu, the leader of Israel, says that Iran, he said this recently, he said Iran will be 90% through the process of building a nuclear bomb by the spring of 2013. The IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, has indicated, so many people's not even paying attention to this. I'm talking about governments aren't paying attention. They have indicated, that's an independent agency, they've indicated that Iran has enough uranium to build at least 7 nuclear warheads and is actively seeking to put them in a construction that they can put them on ballistic missiles capable of reaching Israel, and after that, working on making them capable of reaching the United States. This isn't made up mythical stuff. This is what is happening, what has been verified and discovered. You see, once Iran has the nuclear bomb, they will be able to threaten and hold captive the nations of the Western world. You say, how can they do that? Because with the nuclear bomb, they can control the great reservoirs of oil. One man said it's all about oil. In a sense, it is. By the way, you know, God knows what he's doing. You may believe the earth is millions of years old and that oil got there by going through a process of millions of years. But how do you get all the nations of the world to come to a little place called Israel and be concerned about all that little area around there? It's desert. How do you do that if you're God? Well, you put oil, knowing that people won't use it for centuries, but you put oil underneath the sand, knowing that that will bring the attention of the world and the nations of the world to Israel, to that end. And Iran, if they had a nuclear bomb, they could close the Strait of Hormuz. And what's big about that? Because through that strait passes 1/5 of the world's oil exports. Watch Iran. Why watch Iran? Because in power and the religious leadership. In fact, Ahmadinejad, he practices or he believes in the Shia Islamic theology. Now here's the word to summarize that Shia theology. 12th Imam. 12th Imam. You see, the enemy of our souls always has the counterfeit for the real. We are looking for the return of Jesus Christ, Messiah, right? They're looking for the return of the 12th Imam. And I won't go into all of that in history. I just want you to know they are looking for this figure, this messianic figure to come, the 12th Imam. And the Shia religion, Ahmadinejad, I'm getting confused. I must be getting tired here. Ahmadinejad, thank you, Ahmadinejad, he fervently believes this, and he believes if we can destroy the Judo-Christian civilization, you will hasten the coming of this 12th Imam. And so that's why he believes if you'll build weapons of mass destruction, they'll either cause a confusion, or at least these weapons will be here when the 12th Imam comes, and then he can use them, the 12th Imam, to spread his kingdom and to destroy Judo-Christian civilization. Must watch Iran. You know, this is these things that I'm talking to you, they're available, the knowledge of them are available everywhere, but there's so little consideration by those who discuss policy dealing with Iran. They don't even factor in this stuff. It's not made up. It's real. Here we got the prospect of Iran and their nuclear bomb, and they don't even factor in that there are men crazed with religion who really do believe in this 12th Imam, and they really do believe if they can get a nuclear bomb, they will hasten his coming and be able to destroy Israel and United States. You see, to Iran forever, United States is the great Satan, and Israel is the little Satan, and they have one desire, that crazed leadership, they have one desire, and that's to destroy Israel and America. And they believe in doing so, the kingdom of the 12th Imam will come. Ahmadinejad is driven by this theology. He believes that there's just a few years left before this 12th Imam comes. In fact, before he became president of Iran, he was mayor. And as mayor, he built a road at great expense from the mosque to Tehran, so that when the 12th Imam comes, he can move between the two quickly. He is looking for the Islamic Messiah, the Mahdi, the 12th Imam. And he believes that annihilating Israel is when it's all going to happen. Not only do we have to think about Ahmadinejad, but we have to think of Khomeini, another religious leader. In July of 2010, just 2 years ago, he told the Iranians that he had personally met with the 12th Imam. He's preaching this. He's telling folks. In fact, just recently, Khomeini produced a movie. It just was just a little bleep in the news, but he produced a movie called The Coming is Near. Do you hear the counterfeiting here? We're talking Islam, but you hear the coming is near. And in this, the theme is the 12th Imam is soon going to appear and going to oversee and help with the destruction of Israel and establish global Islamic caliphate, and the end of days will come with the 12th Imam. Why should we watch things like this? Because this is a motive to attack Israel. It's a motive for the nuclear bomb. The movie explained why leaders who believe this theology saw the 2011 uprisings. You know, our media interpret that as democracy at work. But those over there, the Islamists, those as part of the Shia theology, when that we had the 2011 uprisings in Egypt and Iraq and Libya and Saudi Arabia and Yemen and those other little countries there, they saw those uprisings not as democracy being born. They saw those uprisings as a precursor to the coming of the 12th Imam. They really begin to believe that through these uprisings still going on in Syria, that through that chaos, there was going to be the coming of this 12th Imam. I'm glad we're not looking for a false Messiah. We're looking for the real Messiah. And the coming of the end is near. And the coming of the Messiah is near. But it's not the 12th Imam. It's Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. Just several months ago, September 26, 2012, Ahmadinejad before the UN called for the end of the countries of the United States and Israel. He announced that there's a new government coming to earth, one of over which the 12th Imam will rule. And I could give you several statements he made. I won't. But he said in that speech, Muslim leaders are to prepare for the coming of the 12th Imam by setting in motion the annihilation of the Judeo-Christian civilization. That's why they're trying to create carnage and chaos, because they fervently believe in the carnage and chaos. There'll be the coming of their Messiah, the 12th Imam. That is what's driving not just their religion, but their foreign policy. I won't belabor the point any further. I just believe we need to watch Iran. I want to ask you a question tonight. Does anyone here really believe that without the United States' help, even if Israel cannot get our help, do you think Israel is just going to say, okay, I surrender, destroy me? It's not going to happen. And because they will not let that happen, one day, and it could be very soon, the bombing's going to start. And when the bombing starts, what are the other Islamic surrounding nations going to do? They're going to get involved. And the question right now from their saber rattling is, what is Russia going to do? The tension has built. It's a powder keg that could blow up any day. We're not fearful. We're watching. And we see all this not as a cause for gloom and despair. We just see it as a precursor to the coming of the kingdom of light through Jesus Christ. Let me give you, before I move on to a close, let me just give you one little thing that shows you that all is not dark even there. How many knows that just recently a large part of Iran's nuclear program was wiped out by a computer worm? Remember that? The Stuxnets. Or the Stuxnet. Well, the interesting thing is, no one knows who did it for sure, whether it was the United States or Israel or some other nation that got that worm in there. It's still affecting their nuclear program. But here's the interesting thing. In the computer code, there is a word, and this is, again, this isn't made up, this isn't conspiracy theory, you know, far out stuff. It's there. In the computer code, there is the word Myrtus. That may not mean anything to you until I say it in its more familiar a name to you. Myrtus is Esther. Esther. And what's important about that? Well, I'm talking about Iran, but in the Bible, what is Iran called? Persia. How many remembers a time when Persia was going to annihilate the Jews? And a man said to a woman called Esther, perhaps God brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this to preserve the people of Israel. And in that computer code of that worm that's wreaked so much havoc to their nuclear program is the name Esther, deliverance. Hallelujah. However God does it, all we should do in watching is say, I'm looking for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. It's not time for gloom. It's a blessed hope. And it's going to be a glorious appearing. What's some other things we should look for? And really, really brief. The incoming. I could talk about this for a while, but I'm not. Jesus said, at his coming, the sun is going to be darkened. The moon turn his blood. And then what does he say is going to happen? The stars will fall from heaven. I heard this on National Public Radio. It's of real concern. There's an asteroid that is slated, very possibly, to slam into Earth 20 years from now, 2032. And the chances, now hold on here. This doesn't sound impressive at first. The chances, they're saying, these are scientists, of this huge asteroid slamming into Earth 20 years from now. The chances of that are 1 in 45,000. You go, whew. No, 1 in 45,000 in astronomical terms is very, very low odds. Now you say, well, you mean Jesus won't come for 20 years? Well, I'm going to tell you, all I know is the Bible says things are going to be falling out of heaven, and it's going to be killing folks and plagues and all of this. All I know, it may be 20 years out there on path to planet Earth, but God, he's able to easily flick it a little bit and speed it up, isn't he? How many believes our God can do that? And some say, well, it looks like it's going to miss us by just a little bit. He can change its course. I don't know how he's going to do all that. All I know is he told us to look for these signs. And I'm more than the particulars tonight, I'm talking about an attitude that we don't just say, oh, here we go again, or, oh, I've heard that before. But we are watching. And instead of it causing us to be filled with gloom and despair, we begin to think Jesus is coming. I won't belabor that. I will move on to one last thing. And I think it's the most important thing to watch. Watch Israel. Watch Iran. Watch the incoming from the heavens. But the thing we really need to watch is the inner life. If you've heard me preach through years, when I preach about the end time and the different signs, I tell you there's one sign Jesus told us that precedes the coming, his coming. To me, it's the most frightening sign that there is. It's not the wars. It's not the earthquakes. It's not the pestilence. It's not the persecution. It's not even these asteroids. The most frightening sign, Jesus says, it's found in verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The thing we need to watch the most is our inner life. Is my love for Christ dimming? Is it waxing cold? I don't want that to be the case. After all, he is the bridegroom coming after the bride. And the bride ought to have her heart full of love, full of expectation. Would you come, music? I believe the question tonight is, are we watching? National Geographic recently did a survey about the end of the world. And it surveyed people about their feelings of tsunamis and earthquakes and financial concerns. And they ask Americans, what are the things you're most concerned about? Do you think anything bad is about to happen to planet Earth? And 62% of Americans said, yes, there's going to be major catastrophe within the next 20 years. They were asked, well, what kind of catastrophe do you think is coming? And they answered, well, earthquakes or hurricanes or terrorist attacks or financial collapse. They said, well, what do you think is the cause of these coming catastrophes? And 71% said they're acts of God. And all of those statistics are interesting, but the thing that interested me about this survey in National Geographic is that 85% said, we know something major is coming, but 85% said, we are not prepared. We're not prepared. 25% said they know something catastrophic is coming, but they've done absolutely nothing to change anything about their lives. They said, well, if you knew what was going to happen tomorrow, what would you do? And at the top of the list would be, I would resolve the things that are wrong between me and my family and friends. Right close to the top of the list would be, I would stock up on resources so I would be ready. I don't know how you feel about it, but if Jesus is truly coming, maybe that top of the list thing would be a good thing to keep in mind. Get things right in our relationships with him and with others. Stock up on the resources. I'm not talking about getting water and food. I'm talking about the resources of spiritual things, the Word of God, the Spirit in our hearts, prepared for his coming. I've talked quite a bit about the Jews, but they do two things in their Passover. One thing is they always make a setting, a plate, and the utensils that nobody sits at their table during the Passover. If you were to ask them, who is that for? They would say, that's for Elijah. Because they're in their belief, they didn't get it that he did come again. Elijah did through John the Baptist. They don't get that. They're still waiting for Elijah to come. And so they put that empty place there. You know, maybe they're wrong about that. Oh, I know they are, but they're wrong about all that. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we had an empty place set for Christ at our table, in our conversations, in our plans? They say because Elijah's coming. We say because Jesus is coming, I want to make sure I make room for His coming. And the other thing Jews do at the Passover, here we are on the brink just a little bit. We'll be doing this. We'll be moving into a new year. But at the Passover, the empty place is there. But they also always say this, perhaps next year in Jerusalem, scattered across the earth, having their Passover, but next year in Jerusalem. How many could believe it? Next year, heaven. Watching. He cometh in an hour when you think not. Let's stand tonight. Amen. I want to say one more time, this is not a cause for gloom, because it's a glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, light's fixing to invade this world. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him tonight for hope. Would you, all over the building? Hallelujah. We praise You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you watching? Are you ready? I want to watch in 2013. I want to be watching. I want to be looking. I want to be waiting. I want to be prepared. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you want to be a watcher tonight, and I want to ask you in Christ's words across the building, are you ready? Are you ready? It's only those that watch that are going to be ready. But if in 2013 you want to be a watcher, I want to invite you to come. We're just going to stand tonight and fill the front and have a season of prayer. You want to be a watcher of His for His coming in 2013. Would you come begin to fill the front? Amen. And just stand and lift your hand and say, God, I'm going to be looking. I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be fully awake. I'm going to be fully alert. I'm going to be ready for Your coming, Your appearing. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, bless Your name. I'm going to be watching. When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith? Will He find those that believe the Word? Will He find those that are watching? Because iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. But it doesn't have to. The closer to His coming, our love can wax hotter and hotter, more passionate. We don't have to be drawing away. We can be drawing closer. The closer His coming, the closer we are to Him. Are you watching? Are you watching? What are you looking for? Where are you looking to? Hallelujah. I want to be ready. I want to be watching. Oh, hallelujah. Such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know physically it's late, and our bodies may be a little groggy. But oh, we can be fully awake spiritually. We can be fully alert spiritually. Hallelujah. Not sluggish, not cold, not indifferent, not apathetic, but fully awake spiritually. Hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Lord. I'm watching. If you're here tonight and you're not ready for His coming, you can be ready before you leave the house. Lord, I want to be ready for Your coming. Oh, hallelujah. Next year in Jerusalem. Next year in heaven. That's not very far away. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to be a watcher in 2013. I'm going to be looking for His return. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, young people, you can be a watcher looking for His return. Expected His return. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look up with expectant hearts and say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm watching.
You could be gone.
Oh, hallelujah.
In a moment.
Hallelujah.
Your time comes to die.
If you're not ready for his coming, reach out to him right where you're at. Say, oh God, I want to be ready when you come.
If you are left
behind, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
How you'd wish for a little bit more time. There's still time.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Make up your mind.
Oh, he's coming for those that love his appearing.
Be happy.
That love his appearing.
Living on the borderline.
Hallelujah.
You only.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
His plan for you. You wouldn't wait or hesitate while there's still time.
Amen. I appreciate them bringing that song back out.